This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Shope.
We had wrestling in gym.
That was not a joy.
I was probably the only. I held a book during wrestling. When it was my turn to wrestle, I have a book out there. That's how into it I was.
And the Bulldog.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I hadn't heard that in a while, and it's always hilarious. I know it. I know they can. I more than just hope for it. I know it. Happy to have Craig Hoffman back with us. Craig joined us a couple times last year to talk about Washington and the game between the Bills and the Redskins last year, and joins us now to talk about the big news this week. Craig Hoffman on Twitter by his name, Craig Hoffman, H-O-F-F-M-A-N, with 106.7 The Fan in Washington. Craig, how have you been?
I'm good, and let me just say, as a radio person, there is nothing more delightful than surprising yourself with a dumb thing you said once upon a time. So I thoroughly enjoyed that introduction.
Yes, thank you. We specialize in replaying dumb things we've said for almost 20 years.
Told me all.
Yeah, you got to laugh at yourselves. So, Craig, this story this week, when we talked about this yesterday after the weekend, we asked each other, like, are you surprised this day ever came? How about you?
I mean, if you had asked me this 2-3 months ago, yeah, is this day coming? No, absolutely not. But I think within the last month to 6 weeks, specifically since the murder of George Floyd, like in the entire national conversation that has been ongoing of reviewing everything and going, are we really doing enough as a country? And are some of these things that we brushed aside things that we really shouldn't brush aside? I think that this day became inevitable. So it is a day that for years, decades, you know, however long for so many, I don't think we ever thought it would come. But within the last month, it seemed to be a matter of when and not if.
Is it correct to portray Daniel Snyder as being dragged into this kicking and screaming?
To a point, yes. I think, you know, reluctantly, with his head down, kind of, you know, the not kicking and screaming, but just defeated. That's kind of, I guess, the best way to describe it.
Right. Okay.
He for years, right, wanted to keep this and felt strongly about it, went out and found people who could support his opinion within the Native American community, because that's another thing to remember in all of this is that, you know, we group indigenous people together. And the reality is there's thousands of tribes across the country. Mm-hmm. So he was able to find people that supported his opinion and go, look, see, Native Americans, mm-hmm. if say the name's fine. And I think, you know, that got just run over in the last month of people saying, yeah, but there's all these other people that say it's not fine. And in fact, it's incredibly offensive. So I think that he got his butt kicked and the pressure that was put on him by corporate sponsors probably was fairly defeating to him as well. And so, yeah, I don't know whether it's reluctance at this point more than just like, man, I guess I really got to do this, huh?
Craig, does fan reaction to this seem to just run down political lines? I mean, is it how serious or, you know, what fans thinking about this issue? This would seem to me to be a pretty big deal, you know, for our team? Like, what is it going to be called? And then you have sort of the political side of it. So how does fan reaction tend to run?
Exactly like you said. It is very along political lines. You know, if you someone gets mad at you for tweeting about it, you click on their timeline and you can kind of figure out, you can guess with pretty good accuracy what some of the other tweets on their timeline will be. In any, you know, that's for, you know, hard right, like, oh my God, I can't believe they're changing it, this is soft, whatever, to yes, thank God, and you go and you see some more left-leaning progressive tweets. And I think the reality is most people are in the middle of kind of a softer version of the I'm glad it's changing. Most people, as is, you know, the current majority in the country, with polling and things that is in line with this nature. Wow, that just got really Washington busy. I just started talking about polling. But if you look at the polling on most social issues and things, there tends to be a slight to, depending on the issue, sizable majority in favor of the progressive platform, even if a lot of the opponents are maybe more staunch in their position than people in the middle or the majority. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of mirrors it, a lot of those issues in that way, that most people are just kind of happy that it's happening but haven't been in the fight for a long time, that you have a smaller group of people that have been in the fight to change the name for a long time and have made personal decisions to not use it, or however that they might fall along that spectrum. And then you have another group of people that is incredibly hardline on against changing it. They think this is an affront to history and that everything is horrible, and that kind of falls in that category.
Yeah. Not that this is the most, really, this goes without saying, it's not the most pertinent thing here, but I bring what I'm about to bring up mainly because when I first heard about the corporate sponsors putting pressure on Snyder and the organization, I thought, we're going to end up hearing something about how we appreciate it and we respect it and we want to make the change, but we're too close to a season, merchandise, licensing, blah, 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 as reasons why that we're going to do something, but we can't do it right away. And instead, we got, no, this is happening. And it's happening. Like, we got to find a new name, and we got to find a new name now. Has there been any talk about just how cumbersome that other stuff might be?
I'm sure they've had it internally. That hasn't really been a part of the outside narrative that's leaked out, as far as I know, as far as anything I've gathered. And I think part of that, just bluntly, is one of the biggest names that was ready to pull out was Nike. So if Nike's the one who's got to print all your stuff, and they're like, right, yeah, we're not printing that logo anymore, we're not printing that name anymore, so figure it out. And you kind of go, oh, well, I guess we're about to lose an entire season of merchandise if we don't change the name now, right, so let's figure it out. It
good
becomes
point.
A new
yeah.
problem. And so, and especially, you know, for all of, someone asked me this the other day in an interview, it's like, well, how much is this going to cost? And I'm like, probably less than it would be to try to rename the stadium when FedEx pulled their name off of it and when you lost all your merchandise because Nike's like, hey, screw you. So whatever the cost is going to be more than made up by not losing that. And then you add on to the fact that they now get to sell all kinds of new merchandise, that that all the new logos and things like that are going to be put on everything that all the fans are going to want. And this honestly might wind up being a profitable thing for them as much as they're going to have to spend. It's going to pay off on the back end. So. You know, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I think when you talk about how cumbersome it is, quote unquote, the Nike factor in this is pretty much the answer to that question, that whatever the cumbersomeness is, they were willing to go through it, because they didn't have another option.
You know, you mentioned one thing that I've thought about many times over the years on this issue is shouldn't it probably be a home run to change it, whether in politically, the political aspect of it notwithstanding, it's not every day that there's like a new NFL team. And here is an opportunity to totally rebrand. And, you know, there's a lot of people making a lot of money in this league who are pretty good at that stuff. So not like it has to be, it has to go over well. Do you have an idea or a name that's been floated, Craig, that you think is like your favorite or that would do the best or anything like that?
The fan base favorite seems to be Red Wolves right now. There's a lot of symbolism in that name. There's some Native American ties, which allegedly Snyder cares about, that they want to keep the I that's cynical, that he cares about. Whether he's properly caring is, I think, you know, up to other people to decide. But he cares about trying to honor the Native American heritage. And so he, I think that's where Red Wolves comes in on some level with that. Warriors obviously has a little bit of that tie. They want to try to honor the military in some way. And so that there are Red Wolves ties to the military. Red Tails comes in with that as well, that there's some military ties to some certain brigades and things like that, groups of soldiers that have that nickname attributed to them. Warriors, again, a more generic thing, but those are the three that I think have been bandied about the most. Red Wolves seems to be the favorite amongst the fan base right now, but fans are fickle, and I think ultimately they'll get behind it. I think the one thing that definitely seems to be staying is the color scheme. Obviously, the team's nickname is the Burgundy and Gold, and so to be able to keep that and some of the history and heritage of that color scheme that is still easily identifiable, and not to mention, you know, when you talk about like repainting the stadium or anything like that, it saves you a lot on that front. All your signage, if you can just change a name and not to change the entire color scheme, that tends to be helpful. So I would not be surprised to see the color scheme stay, and especially if it's Red Wolves or Red Tails, that script R that has become kind of a secondary logo for them, I think would probably stay as well.
Right. You mentioned a stadium. Isn't a new stadium a part of this too? Like, wasn't that another form of the pressure that showed up here on Snyder?
Absolutely. And so that's one of the most amazing things to me in all of this. It took the combination of the stadium, the moment that we are going through, the national reckoning that we are going through, and the corporate sponsors for him to be like, okay, I guess we'll change it. And so people understand, and I always try to explain this as efficiently as I can, so let me know if I lose you. But if you're not familiar with the Washington, D.C. area, the District of Columbia is obviously an independent city that sits kind of jammed in between the borders of Maryland and Virginia. And so what that does is it creates three municipalities that should be fighting over having a professional football team in them and having the stadium there, because it's not just a football team, right? It's concerts and all the things that happen in a professional football stadium. And so if you can get D.C., Maryland, and Virginia fighting each other, if you're Snyder, that's the position you want to be in. You have an incredibly unique opportunity. Like, if the Bears want to move out of Soldier Field, or even the Bills, you know, they want to move out of Orchard Park, like, well, who's going to fight over it?
Right.
You got a couple of towns and municipalities? No, they got two states and the District of Columbia that should be being like, we want the stadium here. And because of the name, D.C. and Virginia were like, nah, we're good. And he still wasn't going to change it until FedEx ultimately was the straw that broke the camel's back in their public statement. So now this should open up potentially the RFK site, which is in D.C., which is the best possible outcome just objectively looking at it. It's not nearly as far as from the practice facility in Virginia that it currently is. It's centralized, obviously, where you can have fans from all over the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area kind of come into D.C. And it's an area that right now is just a lot of swampland and stuff, and they can kind of do what they did with Nats Park. What's kind of stunk about Nats Park is they wound up gentrifying the hell out of that area, but they're not exactly kicking a bunch of people out around the RFK. It's just kind of dump land right now, but you could add a lot of housing and things to that part of the city, in a city, by the way, which is very crowded and could use some more housing and some shops, and you kind of revitalize that area around RFK, and that could be now a possibility because that land is controlled by Congress as much as anybody. Because D.C. is, you know, the federal city, anything that happens with that land has to go through the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate. And because of that and the politicization of the name, there have been a number of specifically Democratic elected officials who have been like, absolutely not, we will not sign off on this. And the mayor's office himself has gone back and forth on this, but as of late has been like, we're not really interested in even bringing that fight to Congress in the first place. So that was a long answer to, yes, a new stadium is at play and the name change matters. And it actually goes back to your previous question of, doesn't this make a whole lot of sense? Yes, it does make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
That has not stopped Daniel Snyder from doing things before, the whole making sense thing.
Is the new stadium idea mostly about logistics? Like, how old is, I know it's not the newest stadium, but like, is it in need of being replaced?
By age, it shouldn't be, but yes. Yes, it is, because it stinks. It is maybe the worst stadium in the NFL. And I, over the last 5 years of covering with this team and the last three traveling, like, I've been to, at this point, two-thirds to maybe even more than that. It is real bad. And it's bad from a location standpoint for local fans, and it's just a bad stadium. And it was pretty bad on the day it opened. So it opened in the late 90s, I want to say 98. So, like, it shouldn't be that long. 2028 is when the lease is up, so 30 years. Yeah, so 98. It shouldn't be that bad. There's obviously a lot older stadiums that have held up quite well and been able to be renovated and all that kind of stuff. But the place is just a dump. And so from that aspect and the convenience aspect of the geography of the area, yeah, a new stadium would be quite a welcome upgrade to the football and fan experience.
Craig, looks like we have time for maybe one more quick question. Do you think the team might be good? Like, is there a chance this year that with Ron Rivera that they could be decent?
There is a chance, and I think they have a little bit more padding than they did last year. Like, there was a way in which that they were good last year, and it was a very thin path, and they fell off of that path very, very early and went 3-13 instead. So I think the defense could absolutely lead them to being, a, at the very least, a pain in the butt to play week in and week out. I mean, that defensive line is gross. You have Montez Sweat in the second year, and then you have Chase Young across from him. You have the interior trio that's really, really good. Two first-round picks and a guy, Matt Ioannidis, is a fifth-rounder that might be better than both first-rounders in Payne and Allen. Their secondary is a little bit of a question mark, but I love them bringing Kendall Fuller back. He was awesome here before he left and obviously won the Super Bowl with the Chiefs and is a very good player. You know, offensively, they've got some gadget guys now. They drafted a couple of multifaceted guys. They've added some team speed. McLaurin at wide receiver. I remember we were talking about him, you know, when we were on in the fall together, and he certainly proved not necessarily in that game. Actually, that was one of his worst games, in part because of the weather and the wind and everything. And there was no passing in that game whatsoever. But you know, pretty much every other week, he was all pro level. Like, he was a stud as a rookie. And then the biggest question, of course, is Haskins. Like, what does he do in year two? He looks great. He's dropped like 20-25 pounds. But is mentally, can he process at NFL speed, especially in his first year in an offense that he's not going to have an offseason to practice in? So it's a huge question mark and an important one. But is there a path for them to be good? Yeah, there is. It leads to their defense and some of their speed players, you know, really making some individual spectacular plays at key times. But that's pretty much what you can say about half the NFL. So we'll see how thin of a sheet of ice they're skating on in you know, one or two injuries could send them into another really rough year.
Craig, beautiful job. I learned a lot about this from talking to you. Thanks so much for your time, and I hope we talk again.
Absolutely, and hopefully I didn't say anything that'll wind up in one of your intros.
No, we choose to
only.
Sadly,
I don't think so. Yeah, I think it.
But there was a presidential. Joe, that's why you played it, right? Because it's President Bush in there talking about people living with fish. I mean, that's hard to top. Thanks again, Craig.
You guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.